I want to know you, and I want your presence just to hit on me right now. So if you don't mind lifting your hands, we're just gonna continue playing. Father, we thank you that your presence is here tonight because of your love. And that love was demonstrated because of the blood of Jesus. Father, we desire to know more of who you are. We desire to know what it means to be in Christ. Father, we desire for your presence to fill us up, to heal wounds in our heart, God, to help us to forgive. Father, to heal any brokenness that's happening on the inside. Lord, that your presence would give us direction. Your presence would give us strength. And so right now, Father, we thank you for the sweet, sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, we just call upon your name, God. We desire for the fullness of who you are to be revealed tonight in this meeting, God. The fullness of your love, the fullness of your goodness, the fullness of what is on the inside of these teenagers, God. Call out the name of Jesus. Thank you that your word says that just as Carson was saying, that the name of Jesus is above every other name. That when we have nothing else to say, if we can't think of another word to say, God, we can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. I want us to do that right now. I want us to shout the name of Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Jesus! Do it again. 1, 2, 3. Jesus! No, that's not cheesy. It's practice. Because sometimes you can open your eyes if you want to. If we don't know anything else to say, if we don't even know what to pray, if we just honestly just say, Jesus, even if you feel like you're going to bawl your eyes out, if everything else in the world is just crazy, whatever that looks like in school or family, grades, whatever that looks like, relationships, you can call upon the name of Jesus, and when you call on his name, his presence will fall. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but God wants you to experience his presence. Not just coming to church and playing church. I don't want to be here to play church. How about you? Are you here to play church? No. Are you here to come experience the love of God for you? Are you here to experience his goodness and receive wisdom and knowledge of who he is? Because if you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, the Spirit of the living God that literally raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you. And that's pretty stinking cool. That's pretty amazing. That deity, that God would send his Spirit to dwell on the inside of you. What do you think about that? Pretty cool? I think it's pretty cool. That God so deeply loves us that he would say, you don't need to come to a tabernacle. You don't need to come go somewhere to worship me, to experience my presence. It's that I want to live inside of you. I want to be so close, so connected. Like this is just a hug. we're touching skin, right? But it's the Spirit of God on the inside of your spirit. You can't get any closer than that. Amen? Well, good evening. You can take a seat if you'd like to. Thank you, Carson. If you want to stay up there, I'd like that. Okay, no bleeding tonight. I understand. It's okay. Well, I met all of you by name. But again, my name is Josie. And Bob and Dorita asked me to come and speak to you guys tonight because I am a missionary in Brazil and I work in the Amazon, hence the pants. They're Amazonian pants. And so I'm back in country visiting family and friends and ministering in churches and youth groups, and I'm in town this week. So I think it's quite an honor to come speak to you all. So I hope that you get something out of tonight. Hope that you're stirred up maybe in here. Get a little fire under your tush. Just saying. Is that okay that I said that? Okay, good. So anyways, I'm a missionary in Brazil. I do work in the Amazon. So Josie, what the heck does that mean? What do? You work in the Amazon. What does that look like? Well, you see, I travel by boat to different villages where people have not heard of the name of Jesus. And I get to share the gospel with people who have never heard of Jesus before. Do you have friends in school that have never heard of Jesus before? I'm pretty positive that you do. So can I maybe teach you how to share the gospel with somebody? Have you ever shared the gospel with somebody? Maybe. If you haven't, it's okay, because you can. After tonight, you'll be confident in sharing the gospel with somebody. So I go to these villages with a small team of people, and I don't look anything like I do now. I have no makeup on, my hair's up on my head, wearing tennis shoes and a big backpack. No need to look pretty in the Amazon, right? But anyways, so we get to share the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus is the Son of the living God. That God sent Jesus to earth to live a perfect, sinless life, but to die on the cross for your sin and for mine, right? So he did that for us, but he didn't stay dead in a grave. But God raised him up from the dead 3 days later. And now he's seated on the right-hand side of the Father. And so that's what the gospel message is. And that's the simplicity of it, is that the Bible says that when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved. But within the gospel, there's so much more to know about the love of God, to know the freedom of God, to know the healing power of God. And I would like to share a couple testimonies with you guys. You want to hear some testimonies? Can someone tell me what a testimony is? Any of you know what a testimony is? No? A speech? That's kind of what a testimony is. But a testimony is... Okay, a test. If I'm going through something and I make it through and I'm good to go, here's the test, here's the money. The money. Just kidding. So when you receive money, it's good. So I went through the test, I got the money. So testimony. Whatever. I was trying to be funny, but it didn't happen. Bad joke. Sorry. Okay, so testimony is something that happened that, I'll give you a description. So we traveled to a village, and I was, like I said, I was sharing the gospel with people who haven't heard the name of Jesus before. And there was this man who was literally about ready to die. He was hanging in a hammock, hadn't eaten for about 3 months because he had terminal throat cancer. So he had dwindled down to about nothing. And if you don't have food in your body, you don't have energy, right? And you can't do anything. So he was getting ready to die. So we shared the gospel with him. I prayed, declared the life of God over him, took authority over the sickness. I didn't see an instant miracle, but when I went back, I talked to a friend of mine, and that man with the terminal cancer got set free. No more cancer. He didn't die. He had gotten born again that day that we prayed for him, and he got healed, you guys. That's a testimony. And there was this woman, we were going house to house praying for the sick and sharing the gospel. And this woman had tumors on each side of her breasts. She was an elderly lady, I don't know how old she was. But anyways, she had tumors on each side. And so she laid her hands on herself, and I prayed for her, took authority over the tumors. Right then and there, the tumors disappeared. High power of God. How cool is that? So cool. Do you want to hear another one?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was staying with some pastor friends of mine in a city called Maracaparu. It's a couple hours outside of Manaus, which is the capital of the Amazon. And the pastor's wife's sister was born deaf, and she's my age. She's 26 now. And so she married a deaf man, and they have deaf friends. So one Sunday afternoon, her family that was living in Manaus in a different city decided they were going to travel to Manacapuru just to hang out with the pastor friends that I'm staying with, just to hang out. Didn't even have any idea that a missionary was staying with them. And so a group of 8 people come, and 5 of the 8 are deaf. 5. And I began sharing about the miracles that I was telling you about the testimonies. And I said, hey, would you like to be healed today? God wants to open your ears. God wants to heal you just like he healed that woman who had the tumor and the man who had the terminal throat cancer. And 3 of the 5 said, yes, I would like for you to pray for us. Guess what happened? God opened all 3 of their ears, and they all heard for the first time. Can you imagine being born never being able to hear? Oh my gosh, seriously. And they were all my age plus. So like I said, I'm 26. For 26 years, not being able to hear anything. Gosh, does that not touch your heart? Does that not just be like, wow, God, I need some of that, you know? I have one more testimony, one more miracle. So again, in Manacapuru, I had ministered in some churches along, as well as ministering in the villages and such. And there was this young girl, you're all 13 and almost 14. I think she might have been 14 or 15. She had a best friend of hers had gotten diagnosed with stomach cancer. She had tumors in her breast as well, and then she had large lumps on her head. And she traveled to Manaus because the hospitalization was better there. And this young girl had heard about the miracles that were happening in the churches and in the villages. And I had returned back to where I was in a different city on a different side of Brazil. I was in the Amazons in the northwest, and I went back to a different city in the northeast. So this young girl, around your age, asked the Lord to bring me back to pray for her best friend. And I was planning on traveling to an island to evangelize. And I just didn't have peace in my heart about moving forward to evangelize. And the Lord told me to go back to the Amazon. So I went back to the Amazon, I booked a ticket, went back, did some ministry in Manaus, traveled to Manacapuru, and that's where I found out about the young girl who prayed to bring me back. And so, long story short, met up with her best friend, and her best friend got healed from the stomach cancer, the tumors, and the lumps on her head. Glory to God! How cool is that? The healing power of God is real and available, not just for those in the Amazon, not just for those in Brazil, but for you and for your family and friends who need the healing power of God to touch their lives. You know, that's incredible. We don't see that every day here in the States. But that doesn't mean that it can't happen. God's love is real, and that's what it means to experience the love of God, is when you get to experience a miracle like that. And it's not just for them, it's for you. The love of God for you. If you have a broken heart, God wants to heal that. If you have a broken relationship with a family member or with a friend, God wants to heal that. God wants to bring restoration. And God wants to stir a fire and a boldness on the inside of you for you to be confident about the love of Jesus. Not just coming to church on a Friday night. Or on a Sunday, not just coming and going and hanging out with your friends and just living the same old lifestyle like nothing has changed. Because when you truly have experienced the presence of God, the goodness of God, the love of God, you will not be the same. Does that make sense? I would rather go watch a movie than sit in a church where there's no presence of God. Just being honest. And I enjoy movies. But I want to stir a fire on the inside of you that there's something greater than what you're seeing. There's something greater than what you're experiencing. And what you want to expect is what you're going to receive. So if you have an expectation in your heart to say, yes, God, I want you to use me. I want you to use me to reach my friends who have never heard of your name. I want you to use me to pray for the sick. I want you to use me to declare with all boldness that you love the world. If you want that, God will use you. And he'll give you the words to say. He'll give you the confidence. Even if you're not technically in a Christian home or if you're in a broken home, God can still use you. I'm from a broken home. I've had multiple step-parents. Multiple step-siblings. So it doesn't matter what your family's going through or what your family has gone through or the things that you feel like where you're not strong at. God wants to use you where you're at right now. Amen. Kind of get a hoorah. 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 All right, so gave you some testimonies about the Amazon, some incredible things. And I do want to say this, is I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 16, and I'm now 26, so it's been 10 years. It's been a fun walk, but I'm not even close to done. I got lots of years left. But something happened on the inside of me when I gave my heart to the Lord. God just supernaturally just healed some things inside of me regarding my relationship with my father, regarding my relationship with my family, and just some self-worth issues. So God healed that and stirred a fire and a passion for him and to make him known. And so that happens here, and what you receive here needs to be taken outside of the church. Hoorah. 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 All right, so we're going to go to Philippians 3. And I hope you don't mind. I have a Bible called the Amplified Bible. It's worded a little bit different than some other Bibles. And if you don't have a Bible, can we put it up on the screen? King James? Nope. Sorry. So nothing. It's okay. You're off the hook. Thanks, Dev. No problemo. So if you don't mind me reading it, I'm going to go ahead and just read it. So we're going to start in verse 10. YouVersion Bible on your phone. If you don't have it, you can download it. Little commercial. Okay, so this is Paul. Do you know who Paul is? The guy next door. Yeah, no, not that Paul. No, Paul is, well, long story short, he's the author of most of the books in the New Testament. Long story short, he supernaturally got saved. And he's an incredible man. We don't have all night long to go into his detailed story. So you're going to know him as the man who wrote most of the New Testament. Cool? Hoorah. All right. We're going to be using hoorah a lot tonight. Okay, hoorah. Hoorah. This doesn't... Okay. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. And this is, again, Paul writing to the church, which is us. The New Testament church. It says, for my determined purpose is that I may know him. Meaning, who? Jesus. That I may know Jesus. That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. And that I may, in the same way, come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. And that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into the likeness, even into his death. So the Amplified goes on and on and on and on. It's wordy. But it gives a description of what it means to know who Jesus is? Who wants to know Jesus? Do you want to get to know him more? Do you want to get to know his character, his person, his personality, what he thinks about you? What he thinks about you, Matthew, you too. You want to get to know him? How do you get to know somebody? I like communication, so call out some answers. How do you get to know somebody? Oh, teens. What? Talk to them. What else? Go shopping. What else? Going shopping is fun. You get to know people's style by going shopping with them. And music. Same music. How else do you get to know somebody? Okay, texting. But is that really communication? I get it. It's true. It is. Okay. What about this thing here? Listening. Getting to know somebody, you have to learn how to listen. Getting to know God is not just about us talking all the time. It's about being willing to listen. Who has a hard time sitting still? All of us. Why do we have a hard time sitting still? Because what? Your back, you get uncomfortable. Why else? You get bored. That's the main reason. It's hard to sit still for a long period of time because we're used to going. Do you know in commercials, they change scenes every 3 seconds because they don't want you to get bored looking at the same thing? Did you know that? I want you to count it. It's between like 3 and 5 seconds. And so 1, 2, 3, boom. 1, 2, 3, 4, boom. It changes because they know that you're going to get bored in your mind if you're constantly looking at the same thing. But I'm just going to sit here for a second, if you don't mind. And I want you to think about it. If we're supposed to get to know God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and it's hard for us to sit still, and it's hard for us to listen, how are we really going to get to know him if we don't spend time in his presence, right? If we don't spend time reading his word and listening. Does that make sense? If I want to get to know Dorita, I need to spend time with her. The more I spend time with her listening to her voice, the quicker I'm going to be attuned to her voice. And when she says, Josie, yeah, Dorita, I know who's talking to me. Do you have friends like that you know their voice the instant that they say it? Yeah. And God wants to be that as well. He wants to say, Alexis. And it's going to sometimes not be that, Alexis! It's the quiet, still, soft Alexis. Because, you know, God is always talking. Always. But if we're not attuned to hearing his voice, it's going to be hard to listen to him. Does that make sense? So Paul says here in verse 10, for my determined purpose is that I may know him. Is your purpose in your heart wanting to know Christ? Wanting to know what it means to really live for him in your day-to-day life, the practicality of life, in school, in your friendships, how we talk, how we dress. I mean, it's not about being legalistic, but it's about understanding who God is in us. Does that make sense? Who God is in Josie? Who God is in Carson? Not just who God is in other people, but who God is in you and you. You know? All right, I think we're going to go to a different scripture. We're going to go to John chapter 14, verse 17. Are we getting a hoorah tonight? Hoorah. Hoorah. Okay. So, if Paul's determined purpose is to know Christ, And if your determined purpose is to know Christ, guess what? In John 14:17, this is the Apostle John speaking, or actually writing to us, the church. It says, I'm sorry, we're going to go to verse 16 and then 17. So this is the Apostle John writing, but this is Jesus, his words. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, a strengthener, an advocate, and a standby, that he may remain with you forever. Say forever. Forever. How long is forever? Eternity. You got to get comfortable with eternity. Because we're all going to eternity somewhere. Verse 17, the Spirit of Truth. Who's the Spirit of Truth? Who? The Holy Spirit. That's right. Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of Truth, whom the world, who is the world? I'll read on. Whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him or recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. What is Jesus saying here through what the Apostle John is writing? Do you know? He's saying that the Holy Spirit is going to come to live on the inside of you. Like we were talking about earlier, the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. The deity. What's deity? God. Deity is God. In case you didn't know the word, deity is God. So the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. And right here it says, from whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him or knows him not, but you know him. And Paul said, my determined purpose is to know him. But Jesus is saying, you know him. You know him. So if the Spirit of God is in you, you know him. When you receive Jesus into your heart, when you asked him to forgive you of all of your sins and to come on the inside of you, you received the love of God for you. You received the fullness of God on the inside of you. You know? And so the world isn't going to understand why you do what you do all the time. They're just not. Well, why don't you go to a party with us tomorrow night? I don't understand. We all drink. We all have fun. You're going to be asked those questions eventually if you haven't already been asked that. Come on, let's just go smoke a dope. Why not? There's nothing wrong with that. Why don't you do that? I don't need to do that. I don't need to go smoke. I don't know. I don't need to go party. I don't know. I don't need to go sleep around. We don't need to do those things because the Bible says that the life of God is in us. And we don't need to pursue what the world is doing. And when it's talking about the world, that's meaning people who do not know Jesus as their Savior. And so when those opportunities come to you, of going drinking and going and partying and being in those relationships where those temptations are going to be so heavy, you don't have to give in to that. The life of God is in you, and you say, you know, I am fulfilled because of the love of God inside of me. I can proudly say that at 26, I am a virgin. Is that okay that I just said that? You don't have to live the way like the world does. You don't have to. You don't have to let peer pressure push you into that. Because if the life of God is in you, the fullness of God is inside of you to fulfill every desire that you need met in your heart. Does that make sense? So if Jesus is saying the comforter, the counselor, the advocate, the helper, the strengthener will be inside of you and you know him, but you say, God, I don't feel like I know you. I don't know your voice. Rather than saying, God, I don't know your voice. I don't hear you. What's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not alone because people feel like that all the time. But what's the difference between someone saying, God, I don't know you. God, I do know you. Even if I don't feel it, even if I don't see it, I thank you, Father, that I know your voice. So I encourage you to say, if you're in that position in your life right now where you feel like, God, I don't know you. I don't know your voice. I feel like I just can't hear direction from you. Rather than declaring, God, I'm giving up. I can't hear you. I don't even want to read the Bible. It doesn't make sense. Rather than declaring that out of your mouth, declare, God, I thank you that I know you. I thank you that I hear your voice, that your voice is more clear to me than the voice of my own thoughts, that your voice is more clear to me than the voice of my friends and of my family. It's good to have that people speak and give encouragement and knowledge and to speak into your life. Yes, it's important to have that. But ultimately, you want to have your own relationship with the Lord, right? Paul's determined purpose was to know him. And so in this generation, God wants to raise up a people that know him, that know his heart, that know him. And my heart in being here tonight is to encourage you to pursue an encounter with God like never before. To pursue learning how to know his voice in your own life. And that God will use you to open the ears of the deaf. Hoorah! Open the eyes of the blind. Guys, God healed someone who had AIDS when I was in the Amazon. Hello, there was this girl, 16. She slept with her boyfriend. He didn't tell her he had AIDS. She was like maybe 4 or 5 months pregnant. And she had gone to the doctor, I think, 3 or 4 different times. And every single time it was positive that she had AIDS. Prayed for her. She went to the doctor and she was negative. She didn't have AIDS any longer. Hallelujah. Oh my gosh. You guys, the power of God is so real. The love of God is so real. There's nothing that you could ever do that would separate you from the love of the Father. That's what the Bible says. But you need to determine to know him in your heart, not because you have to go to church. I have to read my Bible. But it's because I want to get to know the person of God. That the only one who can give me the comfort and the strength and the peace that I need. And the wisdom. You guys, who needs wisdom? Please raise your hand. Please raise your hand, everybody. Who needs wisdom? We all need some wisdom. And if we have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us, the one who created everything, do you think he has a little bit of knowledge going on? I think so. You need wisdom. You can ask your Heavenly Father. I want to talk about one more thing. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Yes, sir. So they waited for 10 days, and there was a meeting in the upper room in Jerusalem, correct? I think it was Jerusalem. And they had a meeting with 120 people. They were praying. And all of a sudden, boom, like tongues of fire, whoosh, fell down in this building where they were all praying. And they all were filled. Is it okay that I'm going this direction? Okay. And they were all filled with tongues of fire, meaning they were filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were infused with the power of God on the inside of them. So there's a difference between being born again and the life of God coming to live on the inside of you as a Christian. And then there's another experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so what Jesus was saying here in verse 16 of chapter 14 of John, I lost my place. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby, that he may remain with you forever." The Bible says that every good gift is from the Father. Who likes good gifts? You like to shop, we know this. So you'd like a gift card somewhere to go shopping. It would be good for you, right? It'd be very good. who likes to go out and have a good time eating out at a nice restaurant or riding in a nice car or whatever that looks like. Good stuff. Well, I have a gift that's greater than all of the materialistic stuff. And that's called being baptized with the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? I don't know if you ever heard that phrase before. It means that when we pray, when you pray in the natural, you know what you're saying right here, right? Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you. Blah, 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 blah. You're using your English words to speak, right? When you pray. But sometimes we can run out of words, right? Because we only know so much. We can only say so much. But the Bible says that when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us will pray through us. Meaning we will pray in an unknown tongue. And what happens when we do that, the Bible says that we are built up, strengthened, edified, improved as a believer. I think you should put that sucker away, if you don't mind. Because we're getting into some good business here. Some good, cool business. So the Bible says that when you pray in an unknown tongue, you're praying out the perfect will of God. Who wants to pray out the perfect will of God for your life? If the Bible says that you know him, the Spirit of God on the inside of you, that means that you can pray out what God has for your life. And you can do that. And so the Bible says that all you have to do is ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and God will fill you. And you open your mouth and you just start to speak. And if you're in situations where you're like, God, I just don't know what to say. I feel overwhelmed with life. I'm anxious. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. You can pray in the Holy Spirit and the presence of God will just rest upon you right there. And you can pray in the Holy Spirit and pray out the will of God for your life. And pray for boldness in the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God will go boom. He'll anoint you right then and there for whatever you're in need of. So I want you to close your eyes for a second. And I want to ask you first, is there anyone in here tonight that has never, ever asked Jesus into their heart? Jesus, the Son of the living God, like I mentioned earlier, what the gospel is that he came from heaven to earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross. He became sin for you. He took on your sin, died on that cross for you, so you didn't have to pay the penalty for sin. But Jesus did not stay dead. God rose him up, and he lives today. And the Bible says that if you believe that and confess it before man, Jesus says, I will confess you before my Father. So if you have never asked Jesus into your heart and you would like to ask him to forgive you of your sins and ask him to come into your heart, I want you to raise your hand. Is there anybody in here that would like to do that tonight? If there's something going on the inside of your heart where there's like a tugging, that's the Holy Spirit trying to tell you something. I want us to say this anyways. Father, can we all repeat this? Father, I thank you for your Son Jesus, that you sent him from heaven to earth. You gave him up for me. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of the living God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose again and live today. Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me of all of my sins. I'm asking you to be my Savior. Come into my heart. Fill me up, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know where all of you are at in your walk with the Lord, whether it be tonight be the first time or not, I don't know. But I want to give you another opportunity. Close your eyes again. Remember, I was just talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized, being able to pray in an unknown tongue, praying out the will of God for your life. If that's you, if you would like to receive that free gift, we're going to pray again. And I would like you to come up and I'm going to hold your hands and pray with you. Can we do that? Anybody, any of you teenagers like to do that? Don't be shy. Don't care what the person next to you is thinking or doing. But if you don't want it and you feel like you're not ready, that's okay. Any of you willing? And if you want that? Yay! Anybody else? It might be a little scary, and that's okay. Going swimming in the ocean, going deeper can be scary, but it's fun. It's an adventure. So God wants to take you on an adventure like you've never been on before. And you will get to know him more when you pray in the Holy Ghost. You'll go deeper into his presence. Anybody else?